afternoon once again, everyone, and welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Well, not a bad first full day of spring, but still feeling a little chilly to be calling it spring. Temperatures a bit below normal here today, but so far it has been dry. To find out what we can expect as we get into the middle portion of our work week, we're joined again from weatherology.com by our meteorologist, Ray Miller. Ray, first full day of spring, but a bit nippy out there this afternoon here in central Wisconsin.
Yeah, not quite feeling like spring just yet. We will have more spring-like temperatures tomorrow, but that comes with a chance for some precipitation as well. We do have a little bit of light snow moving across parts of the area this afternoon. It's a very narrow band and very light precipitation overall. Really not much more than flurries, but a dusting of snowfall in a few spots this afternoon with a high around 35. Tonight we'll see a chance of rain with some snow mixing in. Not really looking for a great deal of accumulation, with temperatures dipping back into the upper 20s and southeast winds at 10 to 20. Mix of rain and snow on Wednesday, but again, not really looking for accumulation with those warmer temperatures moving in. High of 44 degrees and southwest winds at 10 to 20. Thursday, a little bit of light snow possible early in the day. High of 37. Sunny Friday, high of 40. A little bit warmer heading into the weekend, close to our average for this time of year. Partly sunny Saturday, high of 44. A little bit of rain Sunday with a high of 45. Meteorologist Ray Miller from the Weatherology Weather Center.
And Ray, earlier today I was making out my high school spring sports schedule, baseball and softball, and looking at the early part of the season, not thinking it's going to be too optimistic to be out there in a couple of weeks' time. As we look to get rid of snow, is there a ideal temperature? Is it about staying above freezing for a low temperature? What's the best way to get rid of the snow for us to get, for golfers out there and for those baseball and softball players out there to get rid of the snow that we have on the ground?
Well, the warmer the better, obviously. If it's warmer, you're going to melt off more snowfall. And as we get more and more direct sunlight, that'll help as well. The thing is, while we have snowpack, the air temperature actually is slower to warm up, because the heat energy that's in the air goes to melting the snow instead of warming up the air temperature. So, it's very easy to say, well, if we had a couple of 80-degree days, we'd melt the snow off really quickly. But it's very hard to get that when you have actual snowpack. So really, it's a little of both. You need the sunlight to start melting off the snow and warming up the air temperature a little bit. But also, the air temperature can only warm to a certain extent until that snow is all melted off.
And also, I would think we don't want it to be too quickly either for any potential flooding.
Yeah, that would be an issue as well, given the fact that we've had, in some cases, historical snowfall amounts this season. If it melted off too quick, then we are going to have flooding concerns. I know we've talked about that for some parts of the state already here heading into the spring. I think it's going to be a concern for quite a few areas, even if we have a gradual melt, just because of the amount of snow cover that we have.
Okay, Ray, well, thanks for the information, and we'll catch you again tomorrow.
I'll see you then. Take care.
And right now at our studios on East Wausau Avenue in Wausau, overcast skies. Again, temperatures below normal today. 35 degrees, so not much of that snow that's out there is going to start melting away. The winds are out of the east at 14 miles per hour, gusting as high as 23 miles per hour, so a wind chill factor of 26. The dew point is 22, relative humidity of 59%, and the barometer at 30.09 inches and a visibility of 10 miles. The time is 3:10. I am Chad Holmes. Glad you could join me again here on this Tuesday afternoon on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Don't forget, earlier this afternoon, there was the one and only joint appearance. You can call it a debate. We'll see whether or not it was a true debate or not between the two candidates for the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, Janet Protasiewicz, along with former justice on the Supreme Court, Daniel Kelly. We will play that back in its entirety here on Bull Falls Radio and Civic Media from 6 until 7 p.m. Again, it was in front of the State Bar and the one and only joint appearance. And again, don't forget as well, Janet Protasiewicz will be appearing on As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry tomorrow afternoon and leading right into my program as well. So again, as we have two more weeks until Election Day, early voting starting today, but get more information tonight, 6 till 7 in that judicial forum here on Bull Falls Radio. Time is 3:11. Coming up, we're going to, in a minute, I have to take a break, but I want to say hello to the mayor, Katie Rosenberg.
I voted.
You voted already?
I did.
Well, what happens if something happens in the next 2 weeks?
I guess we'll see.
Exactly right. But we're going to talk to the mayor. Got plenty to talk about coming up. We got to take a quick break and then be right back. Again, it is Tuesday. Overcast, guys. 35 degrees. I'm Chad Holmes. Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Mayor of Wausau, Katie Rosenberg, back
with
us. I am
jamming out to 1999 Lilith Fair right now. This is working for me.
Well, by the time we get into summer and I got some real concerts going around the state and country, then then that itch will really get going,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I already got my tickets for this summer.
Oh, yeah? So, you know. What do you see?
Beyonce, of course. The queen.
Queen Bee. Absolutely. Fantastic. Actually, the one that I would kind of love to see is The Cure.
I just saw
they're coming.
Oh, my God. Robert Smith.
And Robert Smith made some big news last week because he went up against Ticketmaster, which was like cool as heck, right?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Fight the man.
Exactly. Well, you are the man. So.
Oh, man.
You're at
Here
the top,
we go.
Top of the mountain. Hey, let's start off because, I'm going to, as I said, I'm going to throw the softballs early.
Okay.
Then we'll come in with
all the high heat
a little bit later on. But actually, this is kind of cool because I came across the story about where you have proposed not just having fireworks on July 4th, where we normally have it over at Marathon Park as part of the big 4th of July celebration, but to try to do something really big and to broaden it out to the communities here in central Wisconsin. What are you proposing and where did this come from?
Okay, so first of all, it didn't come from me. I wish I could take all the credit, obviously.
You're going to have to learn here that, when it says Katie Rosenberg proposes, to start taking that credit.
I know, but I will tell you who should take the credit and you should be real excited. Jean, in my office. You probably communicate with her regularly.
She is so good.
She's incredible. Well, so the last 2 years, we've gotten a lot of complaints because of the, we haven't had a 4th of July celebration at Marathon Park. Some people just complain. Other people tell us we're unpatriotic.
Well, it's not COVID. It's because you hate America. Come on.
I know. So, this year we decided, Jean decided. She's like, hey, you know all those complaints we constantly take about the thing that we're not really in charge of? And I'm like, absolutely. This is a lot of what we do.
Yeah.
So she reached out to the organizers of the 4th of July celebration and said, hello, we realize that Marathon Park is going to be under construction because we're taking the lead pipes out, first of all. Woohoo! And we want to do something.
Isn't it amazing that it's 2023 and we're finally taking the lead pipes out? But continue.
Man, there's a lot of amazingness,
I know, that's what we're going to call it.
So she reached out to the organizers and said, hey, what you going to do? And they're like, well, we're not sure yet. So we offered to go in and figure out how we continue to celebrate our independence together. So we have Festival Foods, who's a great supporter of communities every place they're in. And so we're working with them, and they gave us an offer, and we decided, why should it just be Wausau? What if we shot them off over the lakes? And again, I'm saying it's us. It's Jean. This is Jean's idea. And she thought, hey, can we reach out to Weston and Schofield and Rothschild? Because we all have different, and Rebounton, we all have these different viewing areas along the lake that we could really capitalize on. So we wouldn't be a lot of crowd scouting and, you know, we could have our own little thing. So we did. We had a really great conversation and they all said, all right, we're going to take it back to our councils and we'll let you know. So first up was Schofield and a resounding yes. So we're excited to hear from the rest of our neighbors. And obviously we'll be voting on this too at Wausau, but we're really excited.
Fantastic. And real quickly about, you know, 4th of July, because something I've been thinking about for a little while now, because in 2026, it is the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. And, you know, obviously I think for... I was like 5 years old during the bicentennial. I don't remember anything, but I still I can go on YouTube and see what was done in 1976. Huge. And is that something that, I mean, obviously that's in the future, but what I was thinking about is how important the 2024 presidential election is, because we got to have the right person as president when they're celebrating 250 years of independence.
You got excited and then dark real quick, didn't you? But
I don't want to have the wrong guy, because, I mean, what we'll be celebrating in 2026 could be a lot different otherwise. But I imagine that those are the kind of things that you got to keep an eye on as a mayor. You know, these events that are important to a community, even if they're in the future.
Oh, yeah. We're thinking about what we want to do. You know, hopefully we have lots of different ways to celebrate. You know, we haven't. I remember Jim Tipple having the kiddie parade. Do you remember this? Where it was on the 4th of July and he'd wear his happy pants. Anyway. And
maybe I blacked it out. I'm not sure.
So, you know, I think maybe we have opportunity to get real big here.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, right now, focusing on the fireworks.
Right, right.
If we can get that going, we can do anything. I know we can.
It seems like a good first step towards a massive blowout in 2026.
Yes, I'm excited. And actually, my brother was born 4 days after that bicentennial. So, you know, I have lots of thoughts about that.
And I think, you know, as civic people like we are here, that's a big, big event that we'll be looking at in a few years. Again, we're talking to Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Also wanted to talk to you about, because last week I spent a little bit of time talking about this huge USA Curling National Club Championship that came to Wausau. And I know that there were folks from all over the country that came and participated, and folks that came with the teams, obviously, were spending some money as well. And it sounded like it went exceptionally well. And I wanted to ask you about events like that, how important they are for the city of Wausau, because I imagine that these kind of events really do make a huge difference in the bottom line, number one, for Wisconsin, but also as a community, being able to put a best foot forward to bring an event like that and do it exceptionally well.
Yeah, we are so lucky to have that amazing curling center right here in Wausau. Spoiler alert, I actually curled this year on Rookie League. It was the first time
I remember seeing on your socials.
Yeah, it was the first time I'd curled since high school. So, you know, I probably could use a little more practice. But yeah, these events are huge. And it's not just getting heads in beds, right? This is celebrating who we are and our heritage and things like that. You know, I grew up with my grandparents curling, and it kind of feels like it's coming back around. It feels like we had there are more than 400 members of the Wausau Curling Club. That's huge. So being able to invite folks from across the nation. I saw the Alaska team. You know, I got to go down there for the opening ceremony. We had bagpipers and everything. So people were really happy. They loved our curling facility. And that wasn't the first big event we've had. You know, we welcomed the Scottish women's national team earlier, maybe it was October. So it's a lot of fun and it's a big deal. Yeah, you're exactly right.
And how big generally is tourism here for Wausau? And how much do you look at tourism? Is it part of your job in any way?
Yes, indeed. So we have a room tax commission that kind of helps us delegate some of those funds that we get through the taxes on the rooms. And then we're also members of the Convention and Visitors Bureau. So we pay into that with those room tax dollars. And we want to make it big. We want more people here to visit. But then we want them to fall in love with us and stay here forever. That's my secret goal. Not so secret anymore. But yeah, we want all of it. And we are so perfectly placed for all kinds of outdoor recreation and indoor in the winter. We know how to celebrate winter.
Can I ask you a question right off the top of my
head?
Because it involves me in some way.
Ooh.
Because I do hockey games
on
the radio. It felt like for so many years we should have a better hockey facility in this area.
Yes.
Is anything ever going to get done in that?
Oh, my gosh. You know, you really should talk to somebody from the county board. So, as you know, they have a Westside Master Plan that they just unveiled maybe a few months ago. And part of that includes a brand new hockey facility. Now, those things are super expensive. And actually, having kind of an old one that needs a lot of maintenance is also kind of expensive. Mm. So moving forward, that's their plan. Their plan is to replace that, have it better for, you know, everyone to play. So.
If it has the proper capacity, could get the state tournament.
Look at this. Could. Look at you already thinking ahead.
Well, I mean.
Yes. I mean, I think you got to get your parks people in here and chat with them because they got a lot to say on this.
Absolutely. Again, we're talking to Katie Rosenberg, the mayor of Wausau here on Bow Falls Radio. Let's talk about an issue we discussed last time around. And actually, it came back to me because somebody that works for me gave me a call like last week. And he got word that his rent's going up $200
a month. And
I know, yes. And I mean, I don't know exactly where he's living, but he wants more hours, to say the least.
Yeah.
And I know that's been an issue.
Right.
Where do we stand with that? Why, is there anything that can be done within the city that, because it's a problem, not just here in Wausau, mm-hmm. but it's a problem
in
a lot of different areas. But it just really kind of hit me because I was talking to this person and he brought it up. He said, wow, I can't afford that.
Right.
And I know there are a lot of people in that same boat. So
I guess,
and I'm sure you hear about it.
Yeah, I hear about it a lot.
What do you say? What can we do? What is the, I guess basically, what is the situation?
Yeah, so we, if you are one of the kinds of person that likes to watch a city council meeting, we actually invited our North Central Regional Planning folks to our meeting next Tuesday. And we will we'll hear their affordable housing report, and in that includes numbers on what kind of numbers of apartments we need here in order to make sure that it's affordable for everyone, and that number is over 500 units. So we got to get building, building.
So in a big sense, it's a supply and demand thing. Isn't
it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we're seeing that, right? Like, if you can raise your rent, you will. I mean, we're all kind of dealing with the effects of inflation and some of those other things, you know, recovery from COVID, whatever the Fed is doing, you know, all of this. So, you know, I think that if people have choices and they're able to be a little bit more nimble, landlords might notice that too, right?
Right.
So, but, yeah, I think it's a struggle right now, and I really recognize that.
And in a way, it's sort of out of your hands. You can't tell landlords what they can charge for rent.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The city did actually put in place a kind of landlord permitting process maybe about 10 years ago.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, well, the legislature came in, or maybe it was the courts, and said, I don't think so. That's against the rules. Don't do this. So, you know, we've tried in that sense. But, you know, if you are wrongly evicted, you know, we do have opportunities for folks to make their case here and get rent abatement and all of that.
And again, that's part of the big whole housing issue, isn't it? I mean, it's not just renters. It's also general housing and at different levels as well.
Yeah.
You've been talking a lot about it. You've been looking at it. Kind of where do we stand with that?
Yeah.
Because, again, as you say, we want people moving in, but you have to have places for them to stay as well.
So what we're seeing is that, you know, there's places for people at the very bottom end, you know, people with vouchers, people, you know, that Section 8 stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's stuff for the people at kind of the top end. But there's, like, a missing kind of stuff. There's a missing middle that we talk about sometimes. So we're looking at that.
Right.
But also, even the people at the top end, at the bottom end, they're looking too. People are staying in their homes longer. So we want to make it easier for folks. If they want to downsize and move out, we should have a place for them to go so that new families can move in and, you know, regenerate those neighborhoods and things like that. So, you know, there's a lot going into this. And again, if you are super nerdy, and I know you are, but if your listeners are, definitely watch our meeting on the 28th.
I was, as you were talking, I'm thinking this is either a very difficult puzzle or it's a chess game.
It's all of it, right?
Because, I mean, you have to be able to think two steps ahead.
And it's also dealing with the toddlers coming in and, like, destroying everything you're doing at a certain point, too. So, you know, it's a lot.
We have to take a quick break for news, but we'll come back with more with Mayor Katie Rosenberg as we continue here on this Tuesday afternoon. Again, overcast skies and 35 degrees. I'm Chad Holmes here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. I'm Chad Holmes, joined former Newman Catholic High School boys basketball coach Jeff Gress and myself each Wednesday from 6 till 8 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 to 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. We'll be talking winter high school sports. We'll take a look at what's going on in high school boys and girls basketball and boys and girls hockey, plus special guests. Each week, we'll be joined by one of our area high school coaches, plus a student-athlete guest as well. It's nothing but high school sports for 2 hours each Wednesday night. The Big High School Sports Show, every Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. on Central Wisconsin's home for the best in high school sports coverage. Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 to 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And back with you here on the Chat Home Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, we are talking to the mayor of Wausau, Katie Rosenberg, and Madam Mayor.
Yeah. The tough stuff.
I know. It was just disturbing a couple of weeks ago. I was telling you off the air, I got a call from a person within the neighborhood that received some of the anti-Semitic literature, I guess, way to put it. And one thing, and he came by, and I asked him, I said, could you bring it over? And he stopped by, and we were talking. And he was worried that it did not feel like he was, you know, he had called a few other folks, both within law enforcement and media, and felt like nobody's taking this seriously. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you. I mean, obviously, I think you took it very seriously. I saw your postings on social media, making yourself heard, I think, very, very strongly. But your whole take on this, because I haven't heard a whole lot about it. I haven't heard anything about arrests or anything like that. And I know that there's some free speech aspects to it. But I just want your general impressions on what happened in certain parts of Wausau a couple of weeks ago with this anti-Semitic literature.
Yeah, so I don't know if it was a group of people or maybe just an individual. I mean, we saw some of that Ring camera video. Mm-hmm. Somebody distributed these 4-page flyers. I'm glad you had a chance to look at what trash it actually is. I mean, it's just bad. I almost said the S word. I'm not going to get you an FCC violation. But it sucks, right? Like, the fact that people decided that they need to distribute their hate and litter it around our city. That's how I saw it. I was downtown on Sunday, and I saw something flying in the wind, and I was like, oh, that looks like a Star of David. I wonder what it is. And it happened to be part of this flyer. So I took it seriously. I immediately contacted the police. You know, they started their file on it. But then, you know, it didn't sit right with me to just sit with the knowledge of this, right? Because, you know, I'm targeted routinely by anti-Semitic nonsense because people assume I'm Jewish. And so, like, my safety is at stake, the safety of our small Jewish communities at stake. And so I contacted the rabbi to make sure that he hadn't been targeted, the synagogue hadn't been targeted. You know, I talked to a couple of folks. And then I reached out to the Anti-Defamation League. Well, first I reached out to some of my mayor friends who had similar situations. And they got me in touch with some right people. So I talked to the Anti-Defamation League and some other folks. And they said, you know, the best thing you can do is a strong rebuke of this. Make sure that everyone in your community knows that you don't stand for hate. Make sure that your Jewish community, especially if they're so small, knows that you are protecting them and you are there for them. And then, you know, our police chief sent the information over to the FBI, including, you know, that Ring camera video that we saw and some other things. So we've taken it very seriously. You know, there's some line in, you know, these saying like, oh, the more you talk about it, the more these groups like to hear about themselves, which is specifically why I'm not saying the name of this stupid group, because no, their message is wrong and stupid. So, but if you've been targeted, please get in touch with us. You know, that Ring camera video gave us a little bit of an outline. We couldn't really tell who it was. And again, you know, in Kenosha, something similar happened, and they were able to charge the person who was distributing this with littering, because they were pretty much littering. And that's how I found it downtown, was it was blown around in the wind. So any information, contact police. We've got a file. We have the right connections. If you're scared, contact us and talk to us about it. I want to make sure you're safe.
And this is one of the situations where there are multiple ways to attack a problem. And I think in some cases, you said it, you talk to the police, they talk to the FBI, but I think the moral standing of a leader sometimes comes out in a situation like this. As we were talking as well, there are some, you know, First Amendment gray areas, and you can talk about all that, about the legal aspect, but I think the moral standing of a community, the moral standing of leadership within a community, and just based on what you put out, you take that seriously as well. And that's a big factor in a situation like this. The moral high ground that a community needs to take in order to show everybody that they are cared for within a certain community.
100%. And, you know, sometimes I get accused of, you know, culture war type stuff for standing with our vulnerable populations who maybe have been targeted historically or currently. And, you know, that's a criticism I will very gladly take for making sure that our community knows that I stand with them.
Again, we're talking to Katie Rosenberg, the mayor of Wausau, here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, talking about vulnerable members of our community. I just saw a story here today about a special meeting that, again, we've been discussing, I think, last month, concerning the homeless issue and the unhoused issue. And it's interesting that prior to the special meeting that you could be going and actually paying a visit with the council. It said within the story that you may be, could you maybe talk about this?
Sure, yeah. So we are having a committee of the whole meeting. Also on the 28th, we're going to have a very short city council meeting. And then we will be talking about our approaches to working to get the unhoused housed. And before that meeting, though, we're people who maybe haven't seen some of the places where people are living outdoors, we're going to take them to those spaces, especially under the Scott Street Bridge. And I've heard a lot about this from folks who spend time downtown. You know, I spend a lot of time looking at what's going on down there. Are the campsites growing? Things like that. And so I think it's important that council members have that in their minds as we're discussing, because real human beings are living there, you know. And I do find it outrageous that we have people in our community living in cardboard boxes underneath the bridge. That is unacceptable. And I know that it's hard. We have been working so diligently. And when I say we, I mean Tracy, who's our outreach specialist. She started in September. And every day she goes to work, and she gets the unhoused housed. She has people, 20 people so far, she's housed permanently. They are sheltered, and you know it's slow going. We need more of her. We need case managers. We need the county to help. We need our surrounding communities to help. But this is one of those things that we decided we needed a special meeting on.
And the whole thing about, you know, this issue, again, it goes in layers, and so many issues go in layers. I mean, we can go back and talk again about the rental issues and the housing issues. I mean, and one issue that one aspect about the story that I read is that some folks actually have money to be able to pay rent, and still cannot find no good housing as well. So, boy, I mean, it sounds like there's going to be differences of opinions, but boy, it just sounds like it's a very complicated issue as well, that people can have their hearts in the right place, but boy, there's a lot of different hurdles that you have to go over in order to get some answers to these very important issues.
Yeah, I would venture to guess that many, if not the majority of people who are unhoused, do have income coming from somewhere, whether that's disability or some kind of social security or, you know, access to GI benefits that maybe, or, you know, even healthcare, you know, they've gotten cut off. This is one of the things that Tracy at the City of Wausau does, is reconnects people to their income, to their healthcare, and then to their actual getting the care, right? Like they have insurance and then they get the care. So, again, it is complicated. And, you know, this, it's not just not having enough money to maybe pay rent. It's also about maybe not being in the right state of mind. You know, there's some mental health issues. There's some AODA issues. And that's not with everybody, but a majority, you'd probably find some more complex kind of issues that people are working through. And there's a reason that maybe they don't feel comfortable going to shelter. We heard, I cried last night at our Public Health and Safety Committee meeting when Tracy was talking about one story. It was her success story. And I remember hearing about this from the police chief, that they found a man on Barker Stewart Island who, and they found him because he was screaming out, because he was literally freezing to death. He was freezing. And our officers found him. They brought him to the shelter. They found him a place to be. And they were able to help him. Tracy was able to connect him to a job. He's now working. His first day of work was yesterday. And, you know, those are the kinds of things that, you know, something in January that seems so dark and dire and, you know, maybe, you know, people are thinking dark thoughts, to now finding their own future and feeling proud of the work they're doing. You know, that's stuff we can do. But again, it takes a lot of time and it takes investment from our community. It's not free. It is not free. So
where do you go from? Because, I mean, this committee, the whole proposal was brought. Mm-hmm. And then it was, no, we're going to have it.
Yep.
Where, and obviously you don't have all the, you know, the power to make it all happen, but where do we stand with it? What do you expect the discussion to be like? What are you hoping to to go in the near future with this?
Yeah, so I'm hoping that council members that don't maybe have all the information that they need in order to start talking about policy action get that. Now, I don't know if we'll get there all in one night, right? Mm-hmm. We've been tackling this ever since I started, even before I started. Mm-hmm. Our police chief has been very involved in kind of assembling the right people together to have discussions, and we continue to do that. But I'm hoping that we start to think a little bit differently about what we can do as a city. And also, I hope it gets the other units of government involved a little bit, or at least listening to us. You know, I hear, it's a city issue. It's not a county issue, right? But mm-hmm. but it is a county issue, mm-hmm. right? North Central Healthcare is a county department. We need their support. We need them to be operating at the peak of their game and with all their case managers so we can work with them. So, mm-hmm. you know, we're talking about, what does that look like? I was talking to a council member just last night after that meeting. They felt so impacted by this. They said, what if we just fronted some funding for North Central Healthcare to hire a case manager to work specifically with this? I'm like, there's a good idea. Look at that. There's an idea. Let's talk about it. So, you know, we gotta start thinking creatively about how to address like the emergency problem, but also as we're moving forward, right? We're going to need places for people to live, mm-hmm. a lot more. Right. And they're going to need to be checked in on regularly because, you know, that supportive housing is really critical for some people.
And when you were telling the story about the man who was, you know, literally dying.
Yes.
And then getting a job. Even when he gets the job, the process doesn't end, because that's, you know, there's often, I imagine, you know, when we get reintegrated within mm-hmm. work,
yeah.
there's still a lot of work to be done.
Well, yeah. And
then there will be bumps in the road, won't there?
Yes, yes. And, you know, one of the struggles that Tracy talked about that he had was, you know, he goes to AA meetings every day so that he can continue getting that supportive care. He's working with the Hope House for sober living, right? Like, you can't sometimes go back to your old friends if they are still in that space that's going to be damaging for you. Mm-hmm. And that's hard because these people are surviving together and they are friends. And supporting everyone together is really challenging sometimes.
You stick around for a few more minutes?
Let's do it, man.
Why not, right? She's the mayor of Wausau, and I appreciate the time. Obviously, lots of different, imagine we get back, that desk will have some more papers on top of it.
You have no idea how many times a day I have to sign my name.
I can imagine, definitely. She's Katie Rosenberg, mayor of Wausau. We're going to take a quick break and then come back. You haven't even mentioned that PFAS term yet, but I know you have an update
on
that. So we're going to
don't get me started yet.
We're going to talk about that when we come back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. We'll be right back. to 8, and the celebration will truly begin, and the Newman Cardinals are state champions! 66-54 over the McDonald Max. The Newman Catholic High School boys basketball team is WIAA Division 5 state champions. Congratulations to all the Cardinals players, coaches, families, and community. Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 is proud to be your radio home for Newman Catholic High School sports throughout the school year. And thanks to our Newman Catholic High School sports sponsors, the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Barney Brothers Kitchen and Bath, Sun Printing, REI Engineering, and the Newman Catholic Athletic Booster Club. Congratulations again to the Newman Catholic Cardinals boys basketball team. First ever WIAA State Basketball Championship. And thanks for everyone for listening to our coverage of the Cardinals right here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Welcome back, Chad. Home show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO with Mayor Katie Rosenberg of Wausau. And you came in and you said you got some new news on PFAS, some new rules. And it's actually showing that here in Wausau, we are in a much better spot.
Oh, my gosh. I feel vindicated, first of all, not just for me, politically and, like, emotionally. Like, last year was the hardest year of my life. I'm not... Oh, man. But the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, came out last week with their proposal for PFAS standards, and they're looking at regulating six PFAS. I'm not even going to try per and polyfluoral, you know, whatnot.
Right.
Six different PFAS that they're regulating they're in their proposal, 4 parts per trillion, right? That is a far cry from the 70 parts per trillion that we were talking about at the DNR. And even the DHS, you know, health hazard standards was at 20 parts per trillion. So this is a big difference here.
You know, when you talk about that, the fact there's, you know, they're talking about 70 and all the, you know why that is.
We shouldn't be consuming it.
But you
it's
know,
bad for
but
you.
You know why it's 4, not 70. It's because they got a Democrat in the White House.
Oh, it's politics. You're right.
Don't you?
Yeah, science is super political.
And
but
at the same time, it's like, man, you know, here in Wisconsin, obviously we got you know, Republicans in charge in both the House in the Assembly and in the Senate. Health should not be that way. And frankly, you shouldn't do the bare minimum for your constituents either, should you?
Oh my gosh. You should preach. I would go to your church because that's what I feel too. Science is science, right? And the research that is emerging on the emerging contaminants is that we shouldn't be consuming this. You know, the second, you know, I heard about the PFAS here, I'm like, okay, what does this mean? What does this mean? And you learn that it's drinking water might be a big, you know, a big thing because, you know, municipalities serve it. But, you know, there's a million different ways that you are encountering PFAS in your everyday life that we should also probably get rid of. Makeup. Why would we ever put this on our faces? I am now a religious reader of the ingredients on makeup. Fast food wrappers. What the heck? What are we doing here? And now I'm seeing that I think, is it Patagonia now who's now getting rid of all of their PFAS in their manufacturing? Thankfully. There are other ways to approach these projects.
And also, when you talk about, you know, numbers, and you talk about names, but you got to look at the names of people. Because I had a guest come in, you know, talking about, you know, dirty land in Wausau and going back decades and decades and decades, and showed me a list of people that actually got cancer in this
community. I feel like I know exactly who you talked to because I've also seen that list.
But when you see that list, when you see names that were, I'll say it, they were killed by this idea, by these organizations and these companies, it really, I mean, there's a responsibility that you have that I can tell that you take very seriously beyond just trying to do the bare minimum.
Yeah, I'm not here to do the bare minimum, right? I'm here to do what I think is right and what the people of Wausau tell me they want. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a balance sometimes because if it conflicts with what you think is right, well, what am I going to do now? But, yeah, I think we have a duty, right? We are the supplier of drinking water for city, you know, ratepayers. So we have a duty to provide water that's safe. And now that we're regulating PFAS, we would like to remove all of the PFAS, right? Like that is what, that's the commitment that we've made. And that's, we'll continue hearing more about this. You're going to hear next week about what we're doing to continue this. Are you kicking me off now?
No, I'm going to say, but some people say, now we're paying more.
Yeah, we are.
We're paying more.
We are. It's a heavy lift.
So what do you tell them people?
Well, I mean, would you rather pay more or would you rather have access to water that is below standards for human consumption? I know it's a heavy lift. Mm-hmm. I recognize it. It's tough. You know, we have programs that help you if you can't pay your utility bills. So please reach out. We have those opportunities. We don't have a ton of people enrolled in those. But this is the right thing to do. It is the right thing for us right now, but it's especially the right thing for the future. As we learn more, the system we're putting in place now is going to be able to help us even more.
It's going to pay itself back, won't it?
I mean, with your health, yes. And also, now that the entire nation is going to be regulated in this way, mm-hmm. we are ahead of the curve. It's really important.
At some point, it was going to have to happen is the bottom line, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, I guess you never know, right? It depends on who's in charge and all of these things.
You're right.
But it's happening now, and we're doing it, and so we're doing the right thing.
Got about 60 seconds left.
Oh.
We miss anything? I'm sure we missed a lot.
Oh, my gosh.
Any,
okay.
Any message you want to send out?
Yes, today, first of all, early voting, you mentioned this, started today. Yeah. You can come to City Hall and get your voting on. second, it's World Down Syndrome Day. Maybe you didn't see that I was wearing mismatched socks to celebrate, but my friends at Gigi's Playhouse have educated me on all things Down Syndrome, and they're still looking for volunteers, so that's my pitch. If you're looking to do good in the community, they could use your help. And those kids are amazing, and the adults are amazing, so your talents could be put to good use.
Mayor Katie Rosenberg, always great to see you.
Good to see you, too. Thank
you. Absolutely. We'll see you next month. Hopefully be in the new building pretty soon. That's what I'm hoping for.
Trumbull.
Hoping here. Don't forget, 6 o'clock, you'll be able to tune in and listen to a very important debate between the two candidates for the Wisconsin State Supreme Court in front of the Wisconsin Bar today. So, again, from 6 till 7, Janet Protasiewicz and Daniel Kelly. So, tune in. As we said, as Katie said, voting is open and... that's one of the big races you'll be looking at. Tomorrow, make sure you tune in at 2:15. We'll be joined by Sean Wright. Find out what's going on with the Wausau Performing Arts Foundation and the Grand Theater as well. Stick around. Coming up next, Devil's Advocates, Mike and Dom. And I'll be back tomorrow from 2 until 4. Thanks for joining me here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230.